phone maker Huawei launched its new flagship handsets in London this week. In the EU, the Chinese firm may face a new bill from Google. There, the US giant is set to charge manufacturers for access to its app marketplace, Google Play. In return, they are freed from any obligation to install Google's other software, such as search.
The artist Banksy has released a behind-the-scenes video explaining that his recent auction stunt didn't quite go to plan. His famous work, Girl with Blue, self-destructed after being sold at London Sotheby's, but only halfway. The artist admitted in an online video called Shredding the Girl and the Balloon, the Director's Cut, that in rehearsals it had worked every time.
Democrat Muffy Davis has been talking to voters across central Idaho as she mounts a bid for state legislature. One topic that never comes up, the Russia investigation. Reuters Ipsos polling finding the Russia probe doesn't even register as an issue voters care about. The economy and healthcare topping the list.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. It is Friday. It's October the 19th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We appreciate you tuning in and giving us a listen this morning, and because of that, we put together a really, really good broadcast. Paul Nolte is here today from Kingsview Asset Management, where he's a portfolio manager. Paul likes to come in and talk to us about our portfolios, give us advice about them, and talk about the economy as well. And so we'll have a conversation with Paul first up this morning in just a few seconds here. And then later in the program, one of our other Friday regulars is back, Brian Summers from Skift.com. Brian is the aviation business editor at Skift, and we've got a lot of United Airlines news today. They've had a really good week in terms of earnings, but ticket prices are going up. We'll talk to Brian about that at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are flat this morning as we head to the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time. Dow futures are up just about 10 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up just about a fraction as well. As we look back to yesterday, trading week winding down after a dismal day. Caterpillar and Apple fueling losses for the Dow Jones Industrials, down more than 300 points yesterday. The tech sector worries over a trade war between the U.S., China, and rising interest rates all contributed to the losses. We'll talk more with Paul about that this morning. Around the rest of the globe this morning, in London, Germany, and France, markets are lower by about a third in Germany, by more than a percent in France. And in Asia this morning, markets are generally mixed. The Nikkei is going to end the day in negative territory, off about a half a percent. Everything else is positive for the most part. Singapore markets are lower. The Asian Dow is lower. And oil is trading at $68.94 a barrel, which is up about 29 cents. A couple of other stories that we're watching for you this morning. Despite the strong economy, J.P. Morgan Chase is warning investors a recession is likely coming. It claims a model says there is a 28% chance the U.S. economy will go into recession this year. It says that rises to more than 60% over the next 2 years. And the model predicts there is a more than 80% chance of a recession in the next 3 years. The model is more pessimistic than others. Netflix executives are warning employees that a story critical of the company's workplace culture is coming from the Wall Street Journal. NBC News reports that executives are expecting it to be similar to a 2015 investigation that the New York Times did of Amazon. That story claimed that the online retailer had a hyper-competitive, bruising workplace, that employees were held to unreasonably high standards. Netflix stock has been performing pretty well this week after announcing it added 7 million subscribers and expected to add more than 7 million more in the coming months. Let's begin with Paul Nolte this morning of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul is an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager over at Kingsview. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. We've made it to the end of the week.
We have.
Another fun one.
And it's sort of like a roller coaster kind of week when we look at the markets.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we had a 500-point gain earlier in the week, and then we fell off yesterday. And as we've kind of talked about over the last 6 months, year now, that we've been talking about higher interest rates and trade concerns and all of that, And the question always came up, well, why isn't the market worried about it? Well, they said, your earnings are good and the economy is doing well. And right now, people are now worried about higher interest rates and the impact on what that's going to do to the economy and certainly trade issues and those impacts. So we don't worry about things until all of a sudden we worry about them, and then it all comes back in a rapid way, and that's what we're seeing here in the markets over the last couple of weeks. So volatility is back, and unfortunately it's on the downside as well as the upside now.
What do you think of this J.P. Morgan Chase we had in the opening recession coming?
I don't disagree with them. I think, certainly after 9 years of an economic expansion, the chances of a recession certainly go higher the longer you go along. And it's not that the U.S. economy rolls over because of old age. There are higher interest rates. There are the trade talks, trade wars, if you will. They will have an impact, and it's not necessarily positive. So we could see a recession, and our models are not yet calling for that. They're close. I would expect to see something in the next couple of years. And I think that's part of what the markets are grappling with today. We look at, how good is the economy? A lot of the economic numbers, the hard data, still not terrific. But it's been better over the last year than it's been over the last nine. So you can even argue that the economy is now stronger today than it has been at any point in this economic expansion starting in 2009.
Situation with interest rates, we saw another week with that front and center for a couple of days. The Fed minutes were out on Wednesday. Any surprises from those minutes for you?
No, there weren't. And what kind of surprised me in an odd way was the market reaction to it, because we had the Fed meeting, they raised rates, and then we had the press conference afterwards. Jay Powell was pretty strong in his comments about how good the economy is doing, and then all the governors went out and did their speeches all around the country, and Jay Powell even last week was talking about how strong the U.S. economy was. He hasn't seen it this strong in decades and was really very surprised how strong it was. Well, that's trader, when that gets translated into trader talk, that means we're going much higher in interest rates. And that led to part of last week's sell-off. So I don't think it's a surprise that the Fed is going to raise rates. And when you look at the futures markets, they indicate, yes, we're going to go higher in December. And there's about a 60% chance that they're going to go again in March of next year. And then it kind of is a 50-50 after that. But yes, interest rates are going higher. And this has not changed in the last year and a half. The Fed is following what they have said they were going to do. And they haven't deviated from that in over a year.
What would keep them from raising interest rates in December, do you think?
The comments that they've talked, well, in December, I don't think that's a done deal. And the futures markets are anticipating 80% or better that that's going to happen. But I think if you start looking at next year, and the only thing that will change, and Fed officials keep talking about being data dependent. So if the data starts coming in weaker, we start to see a higher unemployment as opposed to lower. We start to see manufacturing weaken, and we see some of those other numbers kind of roll down. Then I think you will see a Fed that might start talking about easing off the rate increases.
Paul, a couple of things happening today on the calendar. We'll get existing home sales. I think it's probably the most important one. Home data, we're watching that very closely. Why?
There's a couple things going on there. We've been seeing a little bit of weakness in the home data in general. New home construction and home sales have been slowing down over the last 6 to 8 months or so. And it's a combination of factors. One is higher mortgage rates. We're touching 5% now on a mortgage. And that's getting to be a difficult hurdle for a lot of buyers in homes. The second part is home prices have been rising faster than wages. So it's getting to be harder and harder to get into that house over the last 6 to 8 months or so. The other part of it is the home sector is one that leads to a lot of other spending. You buy a house, well, you're going to buy some carpet, you're going to buy some furniture, paint, et cetera. So it leads to a lot of other purchases. And that slows down, and you will see that impact then in a lot of other areas of the economy.
The good news from home sales, at least here in Chicago, is according to the data, we're the second most affordable big city to buy a home in these days.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and part of that reason is we were probably one of the slowest coming out of the recession as far as getting a lot of cleaning up a lot of the foreclosed homes and stuff like that. So as a result of that, home prices here have generally been slower rising than other parts of the country. So as a result of that, you know, we are very, very affordable. And then we can get into the demographics where we're seeing a lot of people leaving the state for a variety of reasons. And that's also impacting home prices here.
Auto sales also are struggling.
Auto sales are struggling, and we're seeing a lot of problems in the auto loan market. So as people are buying cars, you know, the amount of people that have auto loans is very high at this point. So the amount of debt that people are carrying for auto loans is very high, along with student loans. But again, autos is one of those big purchase, big ticket items that people are holding back on. So between autos and homes, those are a couple areas of the market that we're a little bit concerned about because, again, it speaks to how well people are feeling about their current situation. If I'm a little bit concerned about my job, I'm concerned about raises or things are tight at home, I have a job, but I'm barely making ends meet, I'm not likely to be changing my house and moving somewhere else to a bigger house or a different house. I'm not going to be buying a car. So I think some of that speaks to the overall consumer confidence.
You're going to be hard-pressed, too, to find any more of those 0% financing deals on cars. Most of those are gone as well.
Yes, and that's true. And they actually may come back if this persists because, again, when you look at the auto market, they're interested in trying to get people into the showroom. And so if things slow down dramatically, you may see that come back up again. Not so much in the very popular cars, but those that are in the second tier, if you will, to try to get people into the showroom.
The end of the year is already in sight. What should we do with our portfolios? What should we be readying to do with our portfolios?
You know, we've talked about the last couple of weeks. We've kind of shifted a little bit toward the value side of the house. We've taken some of the technology weights down. Technology stocks are finally getting impacted by the trade talks, and they've been a little bit weaker in the markets. But I think really when we take a look at things, we're still generally positive on the markets. We're concerned. Certainly the last couple of weeks have been rough. But again, we want to make sure that you're comfortable with the risks that you're taking in the market. And certainly nobody worries about it when the markets go up. Everything is wonderful and get me more stock. But it's in times like this that you want to take a look at your portfolio and say, you know, I'm just too aggressive, and I'm seeing some negative signs that bother me. And that would indicate then that you probably should be buying some more bonds, taking some stock off the table. But I would caution people to not go zero on the equity side. It's not an all or nothing decision, but something that you want to pare back on and be comfortable with the risks that you're taking and realize that the markets can go down. If they go down another 5 to 10%, are you still going to be okay and comfortable with the losses that you may see? And we're not out of the bull market. This is not, I don't think, a bear market just yet, but it's certainly going to be volatile, and it's going to be a roller coaster, I think, between now and at least through the election, if not more into the fourth quarter.
All right, Paul, good conversation. If people want to reach out to you personally, how can they do that?
They can drop me a note in the office at pnolte@kingsviewam.com.
Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you again here next Friday.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to our program. Thanks for being here with us today. Lots of news this week in the aviation world. American Airlines news, also United Airlines news after earnings report this week. Brian Summers is aviation business editor for skift.com. And is with us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles, as he is every Friday. Brian, let's begin with United Airlines. They had a pretty good week, earnings call, but some signs that perhaps ticket prices might be going up.
Yeah, it was a great quarter for United Airlines. You know, a lot of people remember over the last 3 or 4 years that airline was really down. Folks focused on their customer service. But as we've said before on this program, the analyst focused on the financials, and United just wasn't doing that well. They're getting their profit margin up. They're making hundreds of millions of dollars in net income. And perhaps more importantly, they're really keeping up with higher fuel prices. So they said for the year, they'll probably have a $2.5 billion higher fuel bill than last year. And that's just an incredible number. If a lot of companies had that happen to them, they'd go out of business. United's doing well. They told Wall Street that they will probably recapture about 90% of that $2.5 billion. Recapture is an interesting word, and it's a word that they use on purpose. Basically, when they say recapture, they mean, yes, we're going to charge higher ticket prices, but they also say they're keeping their costs in line. In some cases, they're lowering their costs, and they're also growing the airline. And as they grow the airline, it gives them some cost and revenue advantages. One of the places that they're growing is Chicago. They believe that for a while they were undersized there. It's a big hub for them. It could be even bigger. And they tell us that the early returns on growth in Chicago and also Denver and Houston are going very well, and that United is recovering what they call its natural share.
Which one of these should we as consumers pay attention to? Which one of these as investors should we pay attention to?
That's a good question. I mean, I suppose as consumers, it's hard not to look at the fuel bill price, right? So United said that it was paying 36% more per gallon of fuel this third quarter than last fuel quarter. And I think anybody who's traveled knows that airfares are higher than they were this time last year. It's not around 36% because that's not how airline ticketing works. But I do think that going forward, assuming that fuel stays higher, and a lot of folks think it will, folks need to get used to this new normal where they're probably paying more for ticket prices than they did 2 or 3 years ago.
I guess the question is, you know, how long can they keep this going? If we see fuel prices continue to go up and maybe even some weakness coming with revenue, how long can United stay in the seat?
Well, I have to tell you, Scott Kirby is United's president. And one of the great things about Scott is he's much more honest than the average airline company senior executive. Scott said on the earnings call, and I believe him, that essentially the revenue picture has never been better. Demand is robust and strong. I think a lot of people know that United has a ton of premium seats, so they have a lot of business class seats on their aircraft. They have they're installing a premium economy section. They have this economy plus section with extra legroom that they've had for about 20 years. And the fact that they have so many premium seats insulates themselves against a lot of bad things that could happen. I caveat that by saying when the economy is good. So right now, people are feeling like they have a lot of money. Businesses are interested in paying more so that their executives can arrive at their destinations well-rested. And United is just selling a lot of premium seats right now. Other airlines are as well. But I would say that, you know, fuel prices are one thing, and it's not good to have those costs go up. But as long as the economy is booming like this, and corporations and wealthier individuals are willing to pay for a better product, United is in pretty good shape.
Brian, one other note on United here. I saw you tweet about this yesterday, about the Polaris section going away completely on United or changing?
So this was about international first class. United Airlines, like almost every airline in the world, has for decades have what we would call true first class. So you have this first class section in the front of the airplane, and that's where back in the day you got your caviar and your really great champagne. And then behind that they had business class, and behind that they had economy. This world of true international first class is going away. There aren't that many airlines that still have it. United last installed it, I don't know, about 13 or 14 years ago. It's a great seat that they have up there, but United decided, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, that they didn't want to be in this international first-class business anymore. They weren't giving out the caviar. They weren't giving out the fine champagne. It was just a seat that was a little bit bigger and maybe had more personalized service. And United has said, look, in the future, business class is going to be our best cabin. They're rolling out this new Polaris seat. It's a very good seat. They just didn't need first class anymore. But as people know, it takes a very long time to retrofit an aircraft. And starting later this month, United's going to say, okay, those seats on some planes will still be there until we have time to take them off. But we're not going to do anything different. So the first class seats will be there. We'll give them to our best customers. But there will be no difference in service between first class and business class. And within a year or two, those seats will completely disappear. It will be the end of an era. And if you want to have true first class, you'll have to go to an airline like Lufthansa or Singapore Airlines or ANA in Japan. It's really just these foreign airlines that are keeping first class. Though I should say that American Airlines has first class on some of its planes, and they're not going away. So American will be the only airline in the United States to offer true first class.
Brian, I want to go back to fuel prices. The folks over at Purdue University were talking about this, and experts have been predicting that oil is just going to keep going higher and higher. What is that going to mean, do you think, for the holiday season and for international flights especially?
Yeah, as we said, United is paying about 36 more per gallon than it did last year. You've got to recover that money somehow. And we know from listening to this program that airfares are a function of supply and demand, right? So you can't just raise fares 36% if there's no demand, because nobody will buy the tickets. You'll be flying empty airplanes. But when demand is high, you have really nice pricing power. So when is demand high? It's high on Mondays and Thursdays when all those business people travel. But it's also high over the holidays. It's high on Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving. It's high around Christmas. You have all these people from Chicago and elsewhere that, you know, must get home for Thanksgiving. And if the ticket is $30 more expensive, or $100, or I would venture to say even $200 more than it was last year, people are still going to buy the ticket because they want to get where they're going. So airlines can raise those prices without chasing off demand. And so they do. And my guess is that people who are looking on Kayak or Google Flights right now for holiday flights are probably getting a sticker shock, but I bet they're buying it. You know, this is ridiculous advice and nobody's going to follow it, and I get it. But if you want a deal, try Martin Luther King Day weekend. You know, demand is quite low. It comes only 2 or 3 weeks after New Year's. Nobody wants to fly. Business travelers aren't flying, and you can score some really great deals. But everybody wants to travel over Christmas and Thanksgiving, and so people are going to pay a lot of money.
Brian, on to another story. I know in the Skift Airline Innovation Report, I love getting this, by the way, in my email inbox every week. I highly recommend everybody else to do it as well. But you've written about the American Airlines CEO, the president, actually, how this company really likes to be on time with departures. And there's an interesting backstory here. What is it?
Yes. Well, first off, thank you for reading my newsletter. I really enjoy writing it every week, and everybody should subscribe. So I appreciate that. Second, I do mention this week that Robert Isom is the president of American Airlines, and I recently spoke to him. And Robert is obsessed with a lot of things, but one thing that he's especially interested in is an industry metric that they call D0. And D0 stands for departures that leave exactly on time. And as he explained it to me, that doesn't mean 5 minutes early. It certainly doesn't mean 5 minutes late. It doesn't mean 1 minute late. It means exactly on time. And you can say that this is sort of obvious, but you know, a lot of airlines have fallen into a trap over the years where you know, they want to be good customer service companies. And maybe they'll delay the departure 5 minutes because they know that connecting passengers are coming. But over time, you lose operational integrity that way. Because if a flight is late 5 minutes and that plane turns five or six times every day, by the end of the day, you're running a pretty late operation. So Robert Isom at American told me that some of his colleagues call him Captain D-Zero. And he does take it very seriously. And as you would imagine, that there are some people that follow airlines closely, especially these bloggers, that think that he's a little bit rigid in terms of his obsession with getting the airplane out on time. But it works for American.
I love the quote in your story. If you depart on time, guess what? You have a good chance of arriving on time.
Yes, he said that with a smile, but I certainly know that he believes it.
All right, Brian, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is aviation business editor for Skift.com, at Skift on Twitter, at Brian Summers on Twitter. Make sure you sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report delivered right to your inbox at skift.com/airline.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat open on Wall Street later this morning. Everything up about 0.25%. Oil and gold and silver all trading higher as well. Let's get an update now on agriculture and commodities. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
And good morning, and good to talk to you this morning. And I have to tell you, our TV meteorologist for the TV agriculture show this week in agribusiness said this week that we've had November weather in October, and in November we're going to get October weather back again. Wow. He said we're coming into what he called pretty good harvest weather, so maybe some of these soggy fields will get dried up next month, and we'll get everything harvested as we always do.
Yeah, and you know, they come out, Orion, every time about this year, about this time every year with the forecast for the winter. I saw ours yesterday. It said the Midwest is going to have a drier and warmer than normal winter ahead, so I don't know how that's going to fare for farmers moving forward. But
well, we'll have to wait and see, because weather does change. I have learned that after all these decades on the planet. For me, I've discovered that weather does change. The story to me this week, the number of infectious outbreaks of livestock disease. Let me read you the headlines. United States blocks pork from Poland because of African swine fever. And mad cow disease in the United Kingdom. Mad cow disease. We haven't heard that for maybe 20 years or so.
That was Scotland, right?
Yeah, in Scotland, yeah. Aberdeenshire, Scotland, and the investigation is underway to determine the origin of the condition, which has not been seen in that country for a decade. And then we've got the other situation with China reporting an outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Inner Mongolia. These are all highly infectious livestock diseases that we don't want to spread. And as you talk every week about travel, the ability to travel that we have now makes it a lot easier to move these infectious diseases from one country to another. And I always advise people, if you're coming back to the United States from a trip to a foreign country, the flight attendants on the airplane will, before you land, hand you a card from the USDA with some questions. And the big one being, have you visited a farm or been on a farm during your foreign travel? And I always say, answer that question honestly. Don't skip because you think it's going to take longer to get through customs and immigration. Answer those questions, because we don't want people to bring in meat or cheese or other products that could carry one of these diseases.
Yeah, I remember this was maybe the beginning of 2001 or 2002, coming back from Europe, and there was a time, I don't know, I think there was a bigger outbreak, and we all had to walk through something with our feet.
Yes, you've been on a farm, that could be, or you had to bring your shoes out of your luggage and wash them if they had taken you on a farm. I think that was the foot and mouth outbreak in England that, you know, they had to slaughter thousands of cows to get rid of that disease. So follow the rules, my friends, and don't be dishonest on answering those questions, right? Because we have to keep these diseases out of the country.
And if you are dishonest, those little beagles will get you, too, when you get off the plane.
Yeah, they will.
What's on the show tomorrow, Orion?
Tomorrow, Jim Fazell. I think it's probably going to be his last visit of the season. We're going to talk markets tomorrow with Paul Georgie of Allendale, and we are going to be doing a summary of World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin, with the manager of World Dairy Expo. And we're going to catch up on how many visitors they had, how many cows they had, and some of the highlights of that show. So,
sounds good. We'll be listening. Have a great weekend, Orion.
You too.
Orion Samuelson with us this morning. Again, the morning show starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, right here on 720 WGN. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, October the 19th. The National Association of Realtors releases its report on existing home sales today. Fed Speaker Raphael Bostic out there. It's also a big day for earnings. Honeywell, Procter & Gamble, State Street, VF Corp, all set to release earnings today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, October the 19th.